Moncrief on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
Dermot says, Jesus, crows are mad. Who knew, eh? Somebody else says, I have to hunt away the crows from my bird feeder countless times a day. I have to run out, clap my hands 5, 6, 7 times a day. The dogs think I'm mental. They know my car, they know my face. That was one thing that Kevin McGowan, who we were just talking to, said. Does anyone else think that sounds a bit threatening? I thought so too, but he seemed to quite enjoy it. I like crows, they keep to themselves. It's the robins that are the garden bullies. Though Tom in Cork says there are only rooks in Ireland and not crows at all. Though I think Kevin was saying they tend to be a different species of crow. Anyway, Marie Lavery from the Farmers Journal.
I hate crows.
Do you?
I really do.
We just had a really interesting conversation
about
crows.
They're really dirty. They eat everything belonging to the birds. I mean, I've actually seen them work in tandem, work with a couple of them, where you have a bird feeder hanging from a branch and two or three of them stand on the branch and bend it down and the other one pulls the bird feeders up with its beak.
Oh, they're clever.
No, they are smart. There's no doubt about it. And they run the little birds out of the garden. We used to have them at all. Only a few were kind of stayed over the winter. But the numbers have gradually picked up and up and up. And I'd get a banger now if I could. And I don't mean by that. That's not. It's not a shotgun. It's not an old car. But it's used to keep crows off, you know, or pigeons off barley fields and tillage fields.
Right, yes.
So it just lets out this bang. But seemingly, if you were to shoot a couple of crows and hang them up, they're quite intelligent. And
they know, yeah.
They know, and they know, oh, by golly, this is not a good place to be around, and we'll go over to the neighbours instead. So I don't care where they go, so long as they go away. I don't like them at all.
Right, okay then.
Yeah, that's it.
That's the end of that, yes. Right, so how did the conference go?
Wonderful. 780 women, 350 the night before. This is the Women in Agriculture Conference, our 10th one, down in Carlow. And yeah, it was quite controversial. We had a really lively session on the lack of visibility, or, well, the sheer lack of women within the farm organisations and on co-op boards, particularly at elected level. And we had two speakers over from Norway and Sweden who gave us plenty to think about when it came to, you know, how they changed things in their country. So to be fair to the...
And how did they change things in their country?
Well, in one case, in the case of Sweden, they abolished the Farm Family Committee, the equivalent of the Women's Committee, because they felt women were being sidelined into that committee. And now it was much broader than what we have here in Ireland.
Yeah.
But they still felt that women were being... It's like, you know, women, men on one side of the church, women on the other. So instead, they put them all in the middle aisle and let them mix it together. So it was the whole idea of that you have to get women off the ground. You have to get them from the local level up to the regional level, because that's where they'll have a lot of influence and can, you know, work with people and be seen for the, you know, have the talent that they have be seen. But if they don't come out to the meetings, that won't happen. So it's to look at, I think, you know, how to make meetings more user friendly. You know, broadband doesn't exist absolutely everywhere, but it's pretty good in a lot of places. And, you know, one of the things that came up was maybe being able to teleconference instead of having to haul people out to halls to meetings, or, you know, especially long distance where they're in the car or they're going by train for a couple of hours in the morning, a couple of hours in the evening, and having a 2-hour meeting in the middle. It doesn't seem to be making a lot of sense. So, yeah, it's to get women out there. So the IFA are setting up a forum on the issue, and I presume both sexes will be on it, and they're going to look at how to attract more women into the association. And that's good news in one way or the other.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, so succession planning was another thing that was really interested, or which, you know, hit a lot of buttons. A lot of concern about what happens to the older couple. Where are they going to get their income? If there's a marital breakdown, what happens with the land? You know, what happens when the young siblings come home looking for a share of the farm assets? So again, a lot of questions. You know, you could feel a lot of concern coming up from the audience as to their situations. And as in so many things with regards to farming, there's no one size fits all, because every single family situation is different. And if people are interested, I know there was a kind of a call for it, but we're in the journal, and with Succession Ireland, we're running a couple of seminars in November on the whole area of succession planning. They're one full day events where people will eventually, by the end of the evening, hopefully have a succession plan in place or have a lot of the work done or a lot of the talking done with their partner about what will happen, the family farm.
Yeah.
And to just go off site and to think about it. So if you ring the journal 419-9525, you can hear more about that particular seminar.
Because I suppose sometimes those things can tear families apart as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, and you could certainly feel that coming through the audience, that the concerns they had were real. And marital breakdown is a big one, and it works both ways. It's not just the young couple in their early 30s, you know, where she decides to scuttle off or he kind of emigrates to Australia. It's actually couples in their 60s where, you know, the younger generation are discommoded because the farm they thought they were going to inherit actually isn't happening anymore because it's been split to pay for two new homes.
Yeah.
So, a lot of issues around that and a lot of concern over how the older couple, their income is going to be maintained. And, you know, if there's an agreement reached with a son or a daughter that mum and dad have to get 15,000 a year out of the farm, and if they renege on it, what are they going to do about it?
Mm.
Are they going to take them to court? And hardly. They're not going to wash the family's dirty linen in public. So how do you enforce those contracts as well? That's a key part. And the bottom line is that so many people are holding on to assets because they just don't want to leave themselves unprotected and without anything to fall back on should the agreement go wrong.
So what's happening on farms now? Is the weather good, bad? I would have thought it's fairly average, but...
It's grand. But I'll tell you now, coming up to Dublin on Tuesday morning, I hit the Nina North. Now, bear in mind, I'm coming from far west Limerick. I hit the Nina North exit and I saw a big herd of cows and a big herd of cattle. And I got so excited. I rang our photographer, Donal O'Leary, and said, Donal, I've seen stock out, livestock out. Now, Donal is from Fermoy, where the land is great. And he said, well, why, what's so amazing about that? Well, because down around me, most stock are indoors and have been indoors by day and by night for quite an amount of time. But we're in west Limerick. It's not that bad. But if you're in Leitrim or if you're in Sligo, or if you're in Donegal or that side of the country, it's pure bloody disaster. What's happened is, can you imagine dinner guests coming for their full dinner, you know, three courses and petit fours and coffee and all the rest of it, and they arrive in just as you've got the breakfast organised, and you know the electricity and the power goes and you have no way of making food for them for the rest of the day. That's in a way like what's happened here. Early silage has been made in a lot of places. Second cut silage hasn't been made. So there's two problems with this. The cattle have gone in, so they're eating the silage they really shouldn't be touching for another couple of weeks. So they've been eating it for the last 6 weeks. So the stuff that's supposed to be there for the winter is being ate. And the stuff that's grown out in the fields, it can't be harvested because the machines will absolutely destroy the fields. So you've got plenty of grass outside been rotting down, and you've got the stock indoors when they should be outside, but they can't be outside because the ground conditions are so bad. And this is certainly the situation. We've reports in now from Clune in County Leitrim, where the situation is actually turning farmers. They're looking at their stocking levels and they're saying, okay, here's what I've got for the winter. This is how many days it'll do me. Our winter will stretch until next April. I'm short maybe 60 days silage. Can't possibly afford to buy it. So last week it said that more than 1,000 suckler cows were offered for sale through the five marts in County Leitrim. Now that is huge numbers. So people are actually, instead of having to, you know, buy in feed and try and cope with the winter, they're actually selling stock. That's what they're at. And so they're not putting the cows back in calf and they're selling them instead because they just don't have the fodder to deal with it. So, you know, there's a couple of seminars. Arrivo Co-op are really kind of getting their act together here very fast on this. And they have a couple of three meetings organised, initial meetings on how farmers can get through this and what they have to do. So they're in Donegal on the 13th November, in Ballyshannon, in the Sligo Park on the 15th of November, and in Carrigan Shannon on the 23rd of November. And interestingly, and you know, it's there, it's on the agenda. It's not just technical experts telling you how you can extend your fodder or how you can feed your animals a diet that's not maybe as high in nutrients and get away with it and the kind of stock you need to keep on the farm. There's actually going to be a whole session on mental health because farmers, the buck stops with them. And if something goes wrong, there's nobody to blame. You can't blame him or her or the boss or anybody else. It's their fault. you know, so many of them will blame themselves for not getting the fertilizer out on the silage ground early enough to get the silage cut before the weather went really bad in August. Like, you remember, in August was a miserable month.
Yeah. But there's a certain amount of guesswork there as well, really, in a sense.
Yeah, but I mean, what's the difference between a good and a bad farmer? Most farmers will tell you it's 2 hours.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a time thing. If you don't get the spraying done, or if you don't get something done in time, there you're stuck with it. So, but anyway, mental health is part of the you know, just dealing with the problems that this will emerge. And, you know, I remember, you know, a couple of times when this has happened, you know, the mental health issues are very, very serious, because if you haven't got enough and you haven't got money in the bank and you can't source the bother.
The stress of that.
So look, it's not good. And but as I say, down my country, or down kind of Tipperary in the Midlands, it's not too bad.
Lisa Marie in Greystone says, tell Marie the North Wicklow cows I can see are outside drinking lattes and eating scones in the sunshine. Very nice for them.
Well, actually, the Burrinage Winterage Festival was on at the weekend. And this is where, instead of bringing cattle in, they bring them actually up to the top of the limestone platforms. And the Corican family put their cattle up over the weekend. They had over 400 people along for the trip, because, you know, the field systems go back to somewhere like 6,000 years ago. And it's just an amazing adventure.
That's very nice. And
I'm a fan of the burn.
Thanks very much for coming into us today. We'll take a break, back in a couple of minutes.
Moncrief on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. GasNetworks.ie/movetogas.